Welcome to the Central Assembly Podcast. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
We've spent the last couple of months focusing on the names of God and focusing on stories where and when God got his name. And in each of these specific instances, you kind of notice that it involved either a person or a group of people calling out to God. So what we want to do over these next few weeks is actually take some time to explore what it looks like to cry out to the Lord. And tonight, we're going to focus more on calling out for help, calling out to the Lord for help. So I have three kids, and I've been told that I'm a pretty good dad, and I guess I am. I don't really know. I think I do a good job of helping around the house and taking care of things and all that. But the thing I don't do well with is just like the gross things that kids, especially babies, do, right? And not like I can change a diaper, like that's all fine and good, but like when it comes to like throwing up and like just the bigger instances, I just freeze up. I can't do anything. And so a few weeks ago, and I'm sorry for this story, but I have to tell it. A few weeks ago, my daughter, my oldest, she was playing with our youngest. He's only 8 months old. And they were playing in the living room, and I thought, okay, they're good. I'm going to run upstairs for a minute and do something. Well, 2 minutes later, Annabelle comes screaming up the stairway, and she's like, "Daddy, there's poop everywhere." And I'm like, "What? What are you talking about? How could there be poop anywhere right now?" So I follow her down the stairs, and sure enough, my poor little baby, he had had this major blowout, and he's old enough now where he's not just sitting there, he's like rolling around, and it's getting everywhere. I mean, it's like in the carpets, and it's like on toys, and it's all over him, and it was awful. And those of you who are parents, you understand. It's awful. So in that moment, I picked August up and as far away from me as I possibly could, and I froze and I just said, "Cynthia, I need help." And she comes down and as she always does in her calm way and, her motherly way, just takes August and I'll take care of him. I'm like, you have to take care of this because I don't even know what to do. He's going to get stuff on me and everywhere else if I do this. I did help clean up the other things. I let her take care of the baby, so I'm not that awful of a guy. So that was my kind of story of calling out to my wife for help, and she was awesome. That might be kind of a trite example of calling out. So let's talk about what it looks like when we call out to God and the amazing things that happen when we do. Our anchor verse for this series is Psalm 18:6. And in that verse it says, "In my distress, I called upon the Lord. To my God, I cried for help. From his temple, he heard my voice, and my cry to him reached his ears." Psalm 18 is David's song of deliverance. And in verse 6, he's calling out to God for help. And this is kind of the culmination of King David's experience in 1 and 2 Samuel, where he's constantly confronted by his enemies. Isn't it kind of the lot of God's people that they always seem to have many enemies? They always seem to be in imminent danger of falling into their hands. But David, as we know, was a man after God's heart, right? Not after men's heart. So many were those that hated him and sought to destroy him. So you can imagine from his perspective and all that he'd been through, from Saul's jealousy and constant attacks to being betrayed multiple times, even by his own son, he constantly had an enemy, and therefore he was always having to cry out to God for help. So he's a really great example for us what it looks like to do this. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't have enemies that are people that are coming out at me with swords and arrows and things like that. I'm not having to fend for my life on a daily basis. And maybe that means I'm not a guy after of God's heart. Or maybe it just means that our enemies are things that we battle in our lives. So maybe the enemy is depression, or the enemy is anger, or the enemy is pornography, or loneliness, or whatever your battle is. Regardless, though, God wants us to call out to him for help, and not just, Lord, I need help, but call out to him completely open and raw. And you see this in the Psalms, and I think it's really refreshing, the writer's ability to just pour out his heart to God with all the raw emotions and the anger and the fear that seem to bubble to the surface. For a couple examples here. In Psalm 6:6, it says, I am weary with my moaning. Every night I flood my bed with tears. I drench my couch with weeping. I'm weary with my moaning. I mean, I'm tired of being tired, right? Or Psalm 38:9, Oh Lord, all my longing is before you. My sighing is not hidden from you. My sighing is not hidden from you. He's putting it out there. I'm open. The psalmist isn't, he's not trying to compose himself before speaking to God. He's telling it like it is. You know, as you might unload on a friend or a close loved one that you know won't judge you for the things you're experiencing. And so the Psalms are kind of meant to be an example for us and a guide to prayer. And they teach us that we should be real and honest in our prayers. In Psalm 69, for instance, David kind of shows us a really good example of this. He's intermixing complaints and requests for relief while also showing God praise. I'm just going to kind of summarize a little bit of that chapter. You won't see anything on the screen here, but he starts out by asking for relief. Save me, O God, he says. It's an urgent plea for deliverance. And then he talks with God about his troubles. For the waters have come up to my neck. I am weary with my crying. My throat is parched. He's being honest with God. He's telling God how it is. He's being very descriptive. He's looking for a divine rescue and handing his burdens over to the Lord. And he ends the psalm by praising God. I will praise the name of God with a song, and I will magnify him with thanksgiving. And that's kind of how this relationship thing with God works, right? I mean, we open ourselves to God and let him work within us. Let him change our hearts. And then the overflowing of that is our praise to him. So sometimes we just need to cry out. We just need to call out to God for help. And in these times, we need to be open to God. How many DIYers do we have in the house? I can't even see you guys anyways. It doesn't really matter. I like to call myself a DIYer. Now, this doesn't mean that I necessarily have any home improvement skills whatsoever. It more means that I'm just really cheap and I don't like to pay people to do things that I can clearly do myself. And I promise, I've only almost blown myself up once. I think I drive my wife crazy when I do that. Anyways, so we bought a new house last summer, a new old house, if you want to look at it. And the yard's kind of a mess, and just lots of weeds in the lawn, not a whole lot of grass. And so I've decided I want to take care of my own lawn. I'm not going to hire True Green and pay him $3,000 to give me grass. I'm going to do it myself. And in the back of my mind, I have like this idea that I really want to do it organically and like treat the soil really good. It's just, but you can't. It doesn't work. It doesn't, you have to use chemicals. I hope there's no like environmentalists in here, because you have to. I don't care what anybody says. But this is a process, but the end goal is to get rid of the weeds and replace those weeds with grass. So, you have to get rid of the weeds first, right? But you can't just, mow them real short and hope that they die, the sun will dry them out. Actually, they really seem to love the sun, I've noticed. But I have a neighbor that lives three doors down from me, and he's a really funny guy. But he came over one day. He was like, "Yeah, look at my dandelion farm over there," and I thought that was kind of funny. And he was like, "Well, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to mow. I'm really short." So he gets his riding lawnmower out, and which I'm really jealous of, by the way. And he mows his weeds just like down to about this. I mean, you can almost like scrape up dirt, you know. And I'm like, man, I don't think that's going to work. This is kind of funny. And 3 days later, he's got like the biggest dandelion farm you've ever seen. It's completely grown back. So that obviously doesn't work. So what you have to do is you have to kill the weeds at the root, right? And so you have two options. You can either go out there and you can dig the weeds out. That'll take forever. Or you can go to Lowe's and you can get chemicals, Roundup, and just spray it. And within a week, they're dead, and it's awesome. So you kill the weeds, and that's great. But it doesn't really end there, because grass doesn't just grow on its own. So what you have to do is you got to throw some seed down, water it consistently, let it germinate. And after a while, it's pretty cool. You see little grass blades growing up, and it's actually a pretty cool accomplishment. I've done an okay job at this, I think. I don't know. So using kind of this analogy when thinking about calling out to God, you know, we got to come to him with our problems, right? We got to be open. We got to give our burdens over to the Lord, to allow him to rip those issues out at the root. Let him do that. And then this allows God to plant seeds and to fill those gaps that are left behind and let them germinate, and then let him fill us with him and his goodness. And we water those seeds by continually crying out to God and continually praising him. You know, some of us may not experience, you know, the anger and the hate and the types of things that we see all the way through the Psalms. But there are those who do, those of us that do at times. But regardless, you know, we all need to know that honest expression of these emotions, it doesn't keep you from a loving relationship with God. You know, I used to think I needed to come to God already having some things figured out. You know, I had to meet him halfway, and then he'd kind of take care of the rest. But I think it's completely the opposite. And this hasn't always been easy for me, because I tend to be somewhat of an emotionally private person. But in times where I have been open with God and I've come to him without some sort of facade, or, you know, trying to just give the weeds a haircut, I show my true self to him, and he always seems to respond in the way that I need it. Not necessarily the way I want it, but the way that I need it. There was a time in my family and I's life where we were kind of dealing with some financial issues, and you know, we had just started having kids, and you know, just things were piling up on us, you know, and it was a hard time. And I'm kind of the type of person that gets pretty stressed about finances and money and that sort of thing. Tend to be a little dramatic, but you know, I just remember sitting down with my wife one night and just talking to her about how I just didn't feel like things were going to get better, and I didn't see a way how things were going to get better and get better quickly. So I started talking about all these drastic things we need to do. We got to sell the house. We got to sell our cars. We need to just go live in a box for a little while, and we'll just save money and pay off all the things, and we'll be good. You know, it won't be hard, right? And nothing in that moment mattered to me other than just getting rid of this financial instability. And I just remember Cynthia saying to me, as she always seems to do so well, "Anthony, just give it to the Lord. Talk to the Lord about it. Do that." And so I did. And as broken as I can be, I told God my problems. Why I was mad and how desperately I wanted things to change. I didn't hold back at all. I gave it all to him. You know, I can't say that our finances changed that night or that next day or the weeks or months to follow. But you know what did change? He changed my perspective on those issues. He reminded me of the things that mattered and reminded me of all the things that I did have. A great family and friends that support me. We have a roof over our head. My family never goes hungry. We have all the things that we need, not to just to survive, but to thrive. These things that, you know, I can take for granted. And yeah, you know, we needed to be smart. We needed to come up with a plan to take care of these issues. And we did that, but the focus and my perspective became different. He changed my heart because I opened up to him. You know, guys, God is our comforter, and he's our friend, and that's truth. But he's also a God who, when we open up to him, he shakes us to our very foundations. And he alone can heal your pain. And by denying our feelings and any pain that we have, it just prevents us from releasing them to God. So we allow God to remove these burdens. And give him room to germinate new seed in our lives. And, you know, I don't want to be misunderstood here. This doesn't mean that we ought to come to him with some overdramatic catharsis every time we speak to him. But we do need to come to him open, telling it like it is, speaking to God truthfully about our situations. And when we do that and then allow God to work within us, he can take the enemies we have, the depression, the anger, whatever it is. I know I'm focusing on those things. There's an abundance of things. But then he replaces them with his strength and his joy, his peace, his wisdom, all those things that were promised. So as I close, I'd like everybody to stand with me. And I want to reread Psalm 18:6. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. To my God, I cried for help. From his temple, he heard my voice, and my cry to him reached his ears. And that second sentence is awesome for me. From his temple, he heard my voice, and my cry to him reached his ears. And that's amazing, because that tells me that when I cry out to God, that he hears me. He hears my every cry, and he hears every cry in this room. He loves you that much. And the Bible tells us that he wants to weep with those who weep. He wants us to bring these things to him. He gives us hope. No matter our trials, no matter the seemingly impossible situations you find yourself in, what he wants you to do is just come to him and cry out to him, call out to him for help. And you know, I know that when I call out to my wife in those funnier situations, you know, she's going to be there and she's going to help me. But as fantastic as she is, God doesn't just show up. He comes and he fills me. He fills you with his spirit and changes you. So if you feel ever that you need to come to God in a certain state, you know, for him to help you, or you need to have things kind of figured out to somehow prove to him that you're trying in some way, know that that isn't what God is looking for. He wants you to come as you are. Cry out to help. Cry out for help. He wants you to be open. He wants you to be honest. He wants you to be raw with him. Tell him how it really is, so the healing process can begin. And at the beginning of Psalms 18, David says, I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. I'm saved from my enemies. That's truth right there, guys. And all these things remain true to us. He wants you to have this. Let's pray.